I'm Patrick Scahill for WNPR News. A series of earthquakes recently rocked parts of eastern Connecticut. I went looking for what caused the ground to shake and found evidence of some really epic geologic history. Imagine a Connecticut with mountains as high and as sharp as the Himalayas, with volcanism and ancient earthquakes shaking the ground, much more powerful than those that we feel today. To understand how this was possible, we need to dial back the clock just a little bit, about 300 million years.
Yeah, oh, I wish we could get in a time machine and travel back.
Maureen Long is a geophysicist at Yale, and she thinks a lot about how movements deep inside the Earth drive the motion of the continents on its surface. Several hundred million years ago, Connecticut was in the middle of a massive continental collision. Back then, modern-day Africa and South America were clumped together into an ancient landmass called Gondwana. It had just plowed into our shoreline, colliding to form the supercontinent Pangaea and pushing up huge mountains.
It probably looked, at least in some ways, like modern-day subduction zones. So think South America and the Andes, or, you know, the Himalayas.
And while that was happening above ground, deep, deep beneath the Earth, a borderland between the two continents was forming. Today, geologists call it the Lake Char Fault. It runs across the southeastern part of Connecticut and then twists north, roughly following the I-395 corridor. For geologists, the rocks here are a kind of portal into the past.
In geology, that's one thing we do a lot is we try and we substitute space for time or time for space.
Phil Rezor is a geologist at Wesleyan. Today we're in East Haddam by Gillette Castle, walking along the banks of the Connecticut River, on one end of the modern-day Lake Char Fault Zone.
Oh, another eagle. Beautiful.
As a bald eagle soars overhead, we walk toward a gigantic cliff face that's covered in melting ice. To me, it just looks like a big rock. But for Rezor, it's evidence of a massive continental collision. He points to fine black patterns that flow throughout the hardened cliff. It almost looks like a liquid that's frozen in place.
That super fine-grained material actually is what we call pseudotachylite. It was a melt, a frictional melt in the fault. And so if you think about rubbing your hands together, you make heat, right? So if you rub fast enough, you'll raise the temperature to the point where you can actually melt the rock.
Evidence of ancient earthquakes? Check. But what about evidence of that ancient continent called Gondwana? For that, Rezor and I go a few miles east, approaching the Lake Char Fault Zone from the other side. As we travel, he explains that as Pangaea broke apart about 200 million years ago, the Atlantic Ocean began to open up. And a little piece of that ancient continent called Gondwana had broken off and was left behind, stuck to Connecticut. Geologists call this zone Avalonia. As we march through what was once Avalonia, immediately you can see it. The rocks here are different. They're much lighter, almost gray.
And so it looks roughly, you know, for a layperson, you probably look at this and you might say, yeah, it's a granite.
It's actually called a granitic gneiss, and Rezor says it couldn't have formed on the North American continent. As we stare at the large boulder, he lays out the evidence. The rock's age doesn't match up to volcanism known to have happened here. Fossil evidence matches it to rocks found in modern-day Africa, and there's also the fabric of the rock itself. When heated minerals cool, he says they'll lock in the magnetic field of where they are, which gives geologists a clue to their latitude at time of birth. It's called paleomagnetism.
And so this block, the Avalon block, is unique in terms, compared to the North American rocks, is unique in terms of the fossils, the geologic history, and the paleomagnetic signature. And so it was recognized from early on that it was a unique terrain.
So unique, in fact, that the Lake Char Fault Zone was actually name-checked in an influential 1960s paper, one of the first to outline the theory of plate tectonics. And the region has remained fascinating to geologists ever since. Coming up tomorrow, the story of what the Lake Char Fault Zone can teach us about earthquakes we feel today. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News. Yesterday, I told you about the history of Connecticut's Lake Char Fault Zone, which was formed during an ancient collision of continents. Today, I'll explain what this area can tell us about the earthquakes that have recently rattled eastern Connecticut. 300 million years ago, as the supercontinent of Pangaea was taking shape, an ancient landmass housing modern-day Africa and South America slammed into our coast. The collision drove up mountains and transformed the North American landscape. It also formed a rock boundary in Connecticut called the Lake Char Fault Zone. Today, that area is pretty much inactive. Jeffrey Park is a geophysicist at Yale.
The Lake Char Fault is not a fault that's going to move for meters and form a mountain range or anything. That part of its history is long, long past. But it is still a zone of weakness, and so if it's stressed beyond its breaking point, it will slip a bit.
But when it comes to the recent string of earthquakes in eastern Connecticut, geologists mostly agree that the Lake Char Fault itself isn't to blame. For that, Park says more likely culprits are ancient glaciers and what they left behind. Maureen Long is a geophysicist at Yale. She says about 18,000 years ago, our state was covered in massive blocks of glacial ice.
They're heavy. They're, you know, kilometers of ice that weighs a lot, and they press down on the landscape beneath them. And you can kind of imagine, you know, pressing your hand into like a memory foam mattress, and then you take your hand away, and it takes a while for the foam to jump back into place.
Over thousands of years, that heavy ice may have also pushed out portions of the Earth's mantle, the layer of slowly flowing rock that exists miles underneath the Earth's crust. Now, Long says fast forward the clock to about 6,000 years ago. Those glaciers began to recede and melt, scouring the surface of our state. It carved out things like Long Island Sound and Martha's Vineyard, but it also paved the way for changes to happen underground. Very slowly, Jeffrey Park says, that liquid mantle began to flow back underneath our state.
You've got old faults that are left over from all these, you know, dramatic plate collisions that occurred 400 million years ago. And they don't have very much to do, but they are responding to this very slowly gathering stress that is occurring because the glaciers are gone and the mantle's flowing back.
That mantle flow, he says, could be one explanation for the small earthquakes recently felt in Connecticut.
A magnitude 2 earthquake corresponds to like a fault zone that's about as big as a football field that moves about a centimeter. You know, a football field's pretty big, right? And if you try to move solid rock a centimeter, well, that requires a fair amount of force. You know, and that gives you an idea of the amount of energy that gets released in an earthquake of that size.
Maureen Long says we know a lot about surface geology and the history of rocks in Connecticut. But going forward, she hopes scientists can learn more about what's going on underneath the ground as well.
Presumably, all of these processes that shaped the surface geology, you know, have also really shaped what the deeper structure looks like. So to me, that's a really interesting scientific question that's still open is, you know, how have all of these processes, put these plate tectonic processes that shaped the surface geology, how have they shaped the deeper structure that we can't see, but maybe we can measure using geophysical techniques.
Last month, geologists deployed a number of seismic stations to Plainfield. The hope is to peer down inside the Earth and better understand the next chapter of the Lake Char Fault Zone's colorful history. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News.